There's a story that is told about a congregation that received a new pastor. Now, as you can well imagine, not that any of you have ever asked the question, mind you, but the main question when a new pastor is called is normally, can he or she preach? Amen. So on his first Sunday in the pulpit, the sanctuary was absolutely packed, as sometimes happens. And the text for that morning was 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. Now, I know that you can't relate, but, you know, since this was a move that no one except the cabinet had actually wanted, there was a collective sigh of relief from members of the staff parish relations committee when the sermon ended and people seemed to really appreciate what the young pastor had to say. Better yet, the second Sunday came and the church was packed again. The crowd was eager to have yet another great sermon. So imagine their surprise when they opened the bulletin and some of them realized that the text that was listed in the bulletin was the same text that they heard the week before, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, most of them just assumed that it was a typographical error, that the secretary had forgotten to change the text. And others of them sat there wondering what preacher in his right mind would choose the same text 2 weeks in a row. Others just thought that they'd play along. After all, he was new and a little nervous. And then he got up to preach. And they realized that this was the exact same sermon that he had preached the week before. Not knowing what else to do, but wanting to get their point across, as they left the sanctuary that day and shook his hand, they said things like, "That was really unusual." Some of them even said, "You know, I think I may have heard that sermon before." Now the third week came. And it was obvious that a storm was brewing because when the people opened their bulletin, guess what the text was? 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And much to everyone's dismay, when the preacher rose to the pulpit, he started preaching the same sermon again. So this time, the chair of the staff parish jumped up and said, "Preacher, we have heard that sermon twice now." To which the minister turned around and replied, "Yes, you have. And as soon as someone starts following it, I'll be happy to preach another." Now, brothers and sisters, let's be honest. I really don't think any United Methodist pastor who values their next appointment would pull such a stunt, although I must admit that most of us have thought about repeating sermons. But our fictional friend may be onto something. Because you see, 1 John 4:11 is considered to be the actual heart of the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. It is what distinguishes Christians from all others. Without it, without our willingness to love one another, then we begin to lose our entire reason for being. And yet when we try to put this kind of love into action, We discover, of course, that it is a lot easier said than done. I mean, after all, there are days that we find it hard enough to love our own families, much less those irritating coworkers, rude drivers, opinionated neighbors, complete strangers, and avowed enemies. So if loving is indeed at the heart of the gospel, and most of us find it hard, if not impossible, to follow through, is it any wonder that the church is in trouble? I mean, right? That it's not that we haven't tried. It's because we haven't listened. Christians, 1 John 4:11 has been read four times. Once when Jim read it, and three times now in the course of this sermon. And I'm willing to say that none of you have heard it. But that's okay, because I'm the preacher, and it took me several readings, a couple of commentaries, and a posted sermon before I finally got it. So hear it again for the fifth time. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loved us. You know, for whatever reason or reasons, we have convinced ourselves that we know all there is to know about love. But what we have failed to understand is the difference between love, as we tend to live it out in our society, and the love that can only come from God. Philip McClarity goes so far as to say that, and I quote, "Humanly speaking, we don't have the capacity to love separate and apart from God. We can feel infatuation. We can return a favor to someone who does something nice for us. But as for love, genuine love, that can only come from God." That's the point that the author of 1 John was trying to make. You see, if you remember, as it goes on, he says this: "We love because God first loved us." In other words, without feeling the love that God has for us, without allowing it to grow in our lives, without a willingness to continue following the love of Jesus Christ that should live within us, we don't have the faintest idea where we're going or what we're doing. Without knowing and accepting the fact that we are the beloved children of Jesus Christ, we cannot begin to do those things that he asks us to do. Beloved, love one another. But if we accept God's love for ourselves, if we allow the love of Christ to guide us, then what seems to be impossible to accomplish becomes possible. One step, one word, one prayer, one action at a time. You see, it all begins and ends with God. So remember, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now do this, and maybe I'll preach another sermon next week. To God be the glory. And all God's children say,
Amen.